This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. There's some big changes ahead in the way the state of North Carolina will reimburse providers under the state health plan. State Treasurer Dale Folwell has created a plan that standardizes payments based on federal Medicare payouts. Folwell says the fees now charged by providers are obscure and out of control. He says the state is at risk of overpaying medical claims, and he hopes his proposal will save the state $300 million. It is an innovative plan that applies the power of government and the transparency of government regulation to the problem of rising health care costs. But the plan has its detractors. WUNC data reporter Jason DeBruin has looked into it and joins us now. Welcome back, Jason.
Frank, hi. Good to be with you.
Give us the nuts and bolts. How does reimbursement work now, and how would that change under the plan that goes into effect in 2020?
So the existing plan is much like a traditional commercial plan. The state health plan contracts with Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina. BCBSNC then negotiates with providers all over the state for a reimbursement payment. So, if you're knee replacement, hip replacement, whatever, the Blue Cross negotiates that with Duke and UNC, and then that's how they get to the reimbursement number.
All right. And so how would that change under this plan?
Instead of allowing Blue Cross to negotiate a payment with all the different providers around the state, the state health plan has said, well, we're just going to peg our reimbursement to whatever Medicare pays. So whatever Medicare pays provider X, the state health plan will pay roughly a 77% premium on top of that, so about 177% of what Medicare pays. But of course, Medicare doesn't negotiate with any providers. They just say, this is what you're going to pay, this is what we're going to pay, this is what you get. And so now the state health plan is going to essentially say the same thing, or beginning in 2020, I should say.
All right.
Say.
Well, I'm going to talk about the pros and cons of this idea and actually how it would play out. But I want to get put this in perspective. State, obviously, a big player in the health insurance game. How many people are covered under the state-sponsored plans, and how much does it cost?
It's about 720,000 members. So a lot of that includes dependents, obviously. Of course, we're talking teachers. That's the biggest chunk. But state employees as well. Myself, yourself included. So a lot of state employees and, of course, teachers. And the overall plan is in the neighborhood of $3.5 billion per year. So definitely a significant chunk of not only people, but certainly dollars as
all right.
well.
And that size and scope is what gives the state of North Carolina any leverage to have
right.
a conversation like this. We're going to dictate prices, right?
Right. And what makes this so interesting, I mean, because it's such a large payer. Montana has done something similar, but, it's just Montana is just such a smaller state that the right. comparisons aren't really, it's not apples to apples.
So let's talk about the idea where it came from. State Treasurer Dale Folwell proposed the plan, and it has received unanimous approval by the State Health Plan Board. Why does Folwell think this is a good idea?
Well, it's going to save him money, or at least he thinks it will. You know, if you're saying instead of contracting a reimbursement price of something that could be, tens of thousands of dollars, if we say we're going to pay only this much, then, not only are your costs fixed, you sort of know what you're going to pay, but in all likelihood, you're going to save money. And that's exactly what he's projecting is, as you said, saving about $300 million in the first year.
And he's also talked about the complexity. And anybody who's ever gotten the bill for any kind of healthcare procedure knows how impossible it is to figure out what the darn thing cost, right? And this is what the state's going through.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there's a he made a public information request from UNC Healthcare to get sort of a better explanation of exactly what it is they're paying. UNC Healthcare sent him back a very redacted document. He's been showing that off as often as he can, taking that everywhere, showing that this is just a really big black box. But it is. I mean, it really is a black box. This negotiated rate between private health insurers and providers is an unknowable number. So it truly is a black box when you're talking about, healthcare payments.
So if you go to the Medicare formula, then you get some kind of regulation, rules about how this is done, and this provides some uniformity, and this is what Dale Folwell said about that.
So if you don't know what you're supposed to pay and you can't verify that you're getting the proper contractual discount, you have no choice but to go to a reference.
That's a clip from State Treasurer Dale Folwell talking to WNC reporter, data reporter Jason DeBruin, who's talking with us now. Saves money. The state dictates fees. It can't be that easy, and I'm guessing the providers are not happy.
No, certainly not. I mean, in many cases, providers, particularly specialists, are going to see a pay cut. And just today, this is actually hot off the press, the North Carolina Medical Society just sent out a statement where they're coming out against this plan in no uncertain terms. I'll just read a portion of it. This is from Medical Society President Bob Seligson. Rate cuts often result in reduced access to care for patients, particularly in rural areas, and jeopardize the financial stability of smaller physician practices and health systems. So the Medical Society, the Hospital Association, provider groups have all come out against this. They expect to be getting less money for the procedures that they're providing. And again, because this is such a huge plan, we're talking real dollars.
So tell us what he means by that. It could mean fewer cuts and less service, particularly in rural areas.
Right. So this is where we get into a little bit more of the you know, what does it mean? Of course, if the state health plan says it's going to be paying less for these procedures, if you're in some of these rural areas, maybe you're very dependent on, you know, a lot of these state employees for as your healthcare customers. Well, if you're getting less money, of course, now you're teetering even closer to bankruptcy. We see a lot about the Duke Health Systems, Novant, you know, UNC Healthcare. They, particularly in the past 10 years or so, have really done well in terms of how much money they're making. In rural areas, it's a much different story. Many of these critical access hospitals are already sort of on a razor's edge and in danger of going bankrupt. And the concern is that if they get even less money from one of these private payers that, you know, typically pays significantly more than Medicare, then that might push them over the edge.
All right. What about other impact? So now perhaps coverage, particularly in rural areas, that's one area. What about the covered employees themselves? Could they find themselves out of network of a sudden?
Well, this is the big risk that Fullwell is taking, is that if I'm, you know, a covered life, if I'm a member of the state health plan, and now I go to a physician, let's use Duke as an example. Well, if Duke decides, listen, we don't want to take 177% of Medicare, we want more, now every state health plan member is going to be out of network. Well, if I've been going to Duke my whole life and I really like Duke, all of a sudden they're out of network. Well, now there are a lot of people in and around Durham, for instance, who are on the state health plan and now want to go to Duke, but now that's out of network. Now, I don't know that that's going to happen. Maybe Duke will stay in. Maybe everyone will stay in. But certainly that's a big risk for Fullwell and for the, you know, for the 700,000 members.
A little bit of a game of chicken. Duke and the other big players can't afford to throw off a big insurer.
Absolutely is a game of chicken. And you know, maybe even if they don't go out of network, there's also this case of what people call balanced billing, where if Duke says, okay, this procedure costs, call it $20,000, state health plan says we're only going to give you $13,000 for it, well, then Duke turns around and charges you, the member, that remaining $7,000. So, and, you know, that's the risk. Maybe we'll be back right where we were in the late 90s with these massive hospital bills that members weren't expecting.
I am talking with WUNC data reporter Jason DeBruin today on The State of Things. So we seem to be at an interesting crossroads right now with a giant insurer like the state of North Carolina going with a plan like this. How did we get here?
So this is what's really interesting. And in some ways, frankly, this was inevitable. Years ago, all right, so we know that Medicare doesn't pay, you know, the full cost of what it costs for hospitals to operate. Medicaid certainly doesn't. And then on top of that, you have these uninsured people that come in after car crashes, heart attacks into the emergency rooms that, you know, provide a lot of costs to health systems so that they would run at a deficit. Well, the social contract that we in America have made over the past several decades is that private health insurance companies are going to bear that burden. So when a private insurer, any private insurer, doesn't matter who it is, pays for a knee replacement, a stent, what have you, it's typically well above what the actual costs are to the hospital. And because of that way hospitals have been able to balance their books. Of course, this is a cost shift. I mean, this is a shift from people who can't pay or who don't pay their full weight to people who pay more than their full weight. Well, that was maybe okay when the difference was, say, a dollar in the 80s or $2 in the 90s or even $3 in the 2000s. But now that these costs are out of control, when it becomes $10, all of a sudden the private health insurance member says, well, wait a minute, how come I should have to bear that burden? Look, hospital, I'm happy that you're providing care in a critical access way. I'm happy that you're providing care to people who can't pay for it, but you shouldn't cost shift that to me. If you want to make up that difference, go to the state legislature, go to the federal government, find money in some other way, but don't come to me. So that's the breaking point that we're at, and that's where Fullwell has said, that's exactly what we're going to do. We should not bear the burden of this, of these costs that hospitals have. Instead, they should go somewhere else.
The we in this one is fascinating because we could be the private insurer who's been backed basically subsidizing, or we could be the government who he represents. He's a Republican state treasurer proposing a plan that at once promises to reduce government spending, certainly a GOP priority, and at the same time makes the case for government regulation and single-payer health coverage. He's making the case for national health insurance as a Republican.
I don't think that he would see it quite that way.
But look what's happening. It's a single payer with leverage that can bring down the cost.
That's certainly one way of looking at it. But at the end of the day, he's concerned about his members, right? And he's concerned about the costs that are being borne by his plan, and he wants to bring that down. And really, this is fascinating because it's not exactly a government payer, but it's not exactly a commercial payer either. Well, what's to stop IBM from saying, we're also going to peg to Medicare? You know, what's to stop other major private employers from saying, well, now we are going to only pay you so much? I mean, for years, as we said, this system is sort of built on itself, and this cost shifting has happened, which is very important to provide care to rural areas. Well, if this starts to fracture and ultimately crumble, you know, that really is going to be a shock to the system.
Fascinating to see the way these fractures are cracking the system and how it's playing out here in the state of North Carolina. WNC data reporter Jason DeBruin, thanks for covering this.
No, absolutely. And a plug, don't forget, open enrollment is right now, so make sure you sign up for the insurance plan you want.
Just a little couple days left. Just ahead, the civil rights movement met with plenty of resistance and plenty of it from white women. A new book takes a look. We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.